is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio.
96.9 FM.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Football Association, Burger King, the Cat Island Rake and Screen Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Buffalo World, Nassau Cruise Port, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Pinder Tile, Prince Masters, Sandcastle Bahamas, Tropical Gyros, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Oh, 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 I'm ballin', so I'm taking my time on my ride.
That's easy to say. We have a list of people that we would take. A for them, a for you, a for everybody in this room. But they don't seem to see many coming through. See many coming through. Metaphorically, I'm the man. But literally, I don't know what I do. I'd live for you, and that's hard to do. Even harder to say when you know it's not true. Even harder to write when you know that tonight there were people back home who tried talking to you, but then you ignored them still. All these questions, they're for me. Like, who would you live for? Who would you die for? And would you ever?
Got it logged and loaded to the Monday, June 2nd edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. on this Monday. It's a wet Monday. It's a rainy Monday on the outside. So please proceed with caution and care. I see some of y'all doing foolishness on the way to the, you know, on the way to work. Just calm down. Got people on the sidewalks. Got people going the next way. You ain't got to splash up everybody. You ain't got to carry on, you know, like you in a motorboat or an airboat or a pontoon boat. What a pontoon boat is, Google it. And then get back to me. Special guest today. I'm going to jump right in. Like I said, it is Monday. Normally we talk with Roscoe and Abaco, but like I say, today and tomorrow, I got two special guests back to back. So we definitely got to, you know, chop it up and take make as much of the opportunity as possible. And my special guest today, no stranger to the show, glad to have him back, F&M Deputy Leader, and St. Barnabas MP, Mr. Shannon Don Cartwright. How are you?
Naughty, it's great to be here. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
How are you? How you been?
Been good. It's
you're looking good.
Feel good. It's
in a no-diddy kind of way.
It's wonderful to continue to be a citizen in the greatest country in the world, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I'm just grateful to God for what he continues to do in my life, for my family, and what he continues to do for us as a people.
Well, we've been through a lot, you know. If you look from the last election to the current administration, and you see some things, you say, okay, maybe some slight improvement here. You look around, you say, okay, still waiting. Still waiting for your talks to come to fruition. Okay, we're failing miserably. Where are we at, in your opinion, in 2025? And then obviously I have a few questions, you know, party related, but where are we at in your opinion in 2025 as a nation?
Well, as we get prepared to debate the budget this coming week, starting Wednesday, the Prime Minister obviously would have had a budget communication last week. And fundamentally, a budget for any nation is about casting a vision, and how does that vision incorporate the dreams and the aspirations of the Bahamian people in a real way. And I say in a real way because Bahamians all across the Commonwealth of the Bahamas are saying that while the government touts a lot of bumper stickers, if you will, that this is just prosperity on paper. And there needs to be a sober conversation. I believe that the Bahamian people are frustrated and disenchanted with the whole process of politics. Every government can be better. I know that there is an inclination at times to say, well, what did you guys do? And we all have to be the first to say we could have been better. But as it relates specifically to this budget, number of things stand out, but particularly that the Bahamian people aren't feeling all of the things that the government is saying that they are doing in terms of the prosperity. You know, definitely the headline was the articulation by the Prime Minister that there is that the government has achieved a budget surplus. And so for a lot of Bahamians, they're kind of confused.
I'm one. Where's the surplus?
They're very confused about the fact that the government is saying they have achieved the surplus, particularly considering the fact that the government in this fiscal year is running a $200 million deficit. They say that they are going to be able to make that up. But we haven't gotten into the new fiscal year yet. And the last time, even though the government has touted since independence, the last time that there was a surplus was under the Free National Movement in 2000 and 2001. But even outside of that, it's speculative what the Prime Minister is saying, and even the Deputy Prime Minister said that they've budgeted for a surplus. So when you talk about a surplus, meaning that you now have gotten in more money than you've been spending, and people think about excess money, if you want to say that right, very loosely, they think about the fact that there are tons of vendors, if you will, that have not been paid. There are the police reservists who've been clamoring to be paid. There are a number of things out there where the government has not been diligent in paying their bills. And so the Bahamian people are asking, with all of this talk about
surplus, why can't I get my piece of the pie?
Why can't I get paid? And this is the issue that the Bahamian people are having, that the government is saying, even with their tax collection policy that they've been very robust
fees?
On.
Because I mean, that's in the word tax, fees.
Well, a levy, fee, it's all a tax. The tax burden has gone up. And so what the Bahamian people are saying that, look, the government has said, we believe that people should pay their bills. The Bahamian people should pay their bills in terms of business should pay their bills. But the government, the problem with that is that the government isn't paying their bills, but they're asking the Bahamian people through taxes and government services and otherwise and businesses through the business license regime to pay their bills. But the government isn't paying their bills fundamentally to vendors and hardworking Bahamians through all across the public sector.
Who have real jobs.
Exactly. Who do have real jobs. So there's a disconnect and a real execution gap between what the government is saying and what they are actually doing. In this same budget, if you look at the fiscal summary, the government has projected 1.7% growth. 1.7% growth for the fiscal year 2025-2026. Next year, they're projecting a 1.6% growth. The next year after that, they're projecting 1.6% growth. So this budget, as far as we are concerned, is a no-growth budget. The economy isn't growing. And let me just say, in Parliament and otherwise, this misconception that the government continues to propagate that the country was on a financial cliff. When the government came into office, the Progressive Liberal Party came into office, the economy was growing at 14%. 14%. That's not voodoo economics. That's exactly what it was. And if you look in the fiscal summary, it says that. And so the fact that the government has tried to portray to the Bahamian people that they've brought the Bahamas back from the brink is intellectually not true. The government has not been able to truly diversify the economy in a real significant way and to cause the growth that we need, particularly for it to be trickled down to the Bahamian people. We look also in the budget. We're still waiting to see $1 of the Grand Lucayan. We don't see it there. It's not there. And so the Bahamian people have been asking about just details in general about a number of things. BPL, for example, like we say, the Grand Lucayan deal. The government continues to say, y'all just wait and see. But the Bahamian people have a legitimate and justifiable feeling about trying to get information from the government
now,
as relates to details.
My question in regards to the Grand Lucayan. Mm-hmm. knowing this administration the way you know this administration, the way I've seen it, if they have an announcement of some accomplishment, isn't it very much pomp and circumstance and we putting all the details out there so everybody could see what we've done? So why in this instance we have the usual party on taxpayers' dime, but now no talk of the deal? Like, that's the deal we shall not talk of.
Listen, Nadi, if you strip away the
layers to that onion, it's crazy.
You strip away all of the propaganda. If you strip away the natural inclination of supporters to support their parties, and you have just a real conversation about what this government has, it's clearly been bait and switch. So, for example, the government campaigned on reducing VAT to 10%, right? Great bumper sticker. Who wouldn't want to see taxes reduced? So they reduced VAT to 10%, okay? But what they didn't tell the Bahamian people, and the devil is in the details, is that when we reduce VAT to 10%, we're going to increase government fees. We're going to have some, there were new taxes, because there was even a tourism levy tax where every Bahamian now pays $2.
Right.
$2 to leave the country. So there were taxes.
Which we never had to do before.
Right. So there were taxes, increased fees for government services. So while they decreased VAT by 10%, and they're able to say we decreased taxes, they decreased tax, a particular tax, and a category of tax, but the overall tax burden
right.
went up.
And it spread wider.
Spread wider. And actually, they gave tax relief to the rich who didn't ask for it. And so the Bahamian people saw that immediately as they began to really deal with this government's, the result of this government's initial economic plan of reducing VAT. And persons would say, well, when it was 12%, there was no VAT on bread basket items and
medicine
and the like. So even though VAT has gone down to 10%, the Bahamian people has been feeling a greater tax burden, because we have to have an honest discussion and say government always needs revenue. And that's why in 2015, you know, VAT is the PLP's baby. They introduced VAT in 2015. We had an approach when we came in the government. Yes, we did increase VAT. We had a balanced approach because ultimately it is about the overall tax burden. So as the government focused on revenue, we wanted to make sure that Bahamians would get the necessary relief through zero-rated items, also adjusting duties on customs and the like. So the government was good at this bait and switch where wonderful bumper sticker. And now look at it. The very same items that the government taxed, and incidentally, both in 2015, and you look at the chronology from 2015 when VAT was implemented now, there has only been one government that has placed taxes on breadbasket items, and it's been the Progressive Liberal Party. And so people look at this and say, hold on for a second now. We are willing as a people to give, right? Because obviously government revenue and taxes should be used efficiently to make sure you have proper roads and the infrastructure is working and that the Bahamian people wait. That truly bring credit to their lives. But they look around, you know, people in Eleuthera, weeks on end, they've been in darkness.
So you think I'm saying surplus. I've heard surplus load shedding. I've heard surplus potholes and surplus in the misery index and a lot of surpluses.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, I got a list if we could go on and on for days.
And the fundamental.
And nothing good. No surplus in the refrigerator.
Definitely not.
Any surplus in your pocket?
No.
Mine hard. Like rock, dig into my pocket, still coming up with lint. I got nothing.
And the fundamental question, every government, FNM or PLP, has to be faced with, and particularly as we go into this election, it is, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And a recent poll that's been going around nationally, 65% of Bahamians said that their lives, as they connected to the economy, it's not going well. 64%, as it relates to the surplus, there was a poll that 74% believe that it's just political, and they don't know that the $75 million surplus in the end will be achieved. But more even fundamentally to that, as we've said, that the Bahamian people see a disconnect between what the government is selling and what they see in their everyday lives. And that's why the Bahamian people continue to be disenchanted and frustrated. And I will say, disenchanted and frustrated, yes, with politics in general, we accept that. And that's why we have to be different and do different.
Let me ask this question. Is the FNM different and better 4 years later than they were 4 years ago at the polls?
Well,
simply because there's a lot of people that I really, from I get the impression that they're giving me that, okay, we're getting off the couch. We wasn't around the last go around, but we're willing to get off the couch. Now, has the FNM, obviously under the leadership of Mr. Pintard, become better over the last 4 years simply because with the minister administration, you were part of that,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And you knew what happened at the polls.
Absolutely.
And here we are today. There's a lot of, talk out there. And obviously, you know, empty barrels make a lot of noise. A lot of people cry over spilled milk. Some people can't accept reality and move on. However, right now, today, as deputy leader, is the FNM better than they were 4 years ago?
Well, but let me answer it this way. The leader Pintard has said that we plan to be a better version of ourselves. And I think whether as individual Bahamians or a company or a political organization, it is always about getting better. But we stand on our past achievements as an organization, as a political party, and what we've done to bring transformation to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The reality of politics, as we all know, is that we don't get to decide the reason why the Bahamian people elect us or kick us out of office. That is their right, and we have to accept that. And I say that to say that in 2021, the Bahamian people, they made a decision. They made a decision based on what they felt at the time was important to them, and we accept that. I'm sure if you were to talk to Dr. Minnis, he would tell you that there are some things he felt that we should have done better. There were some things, great things achieved. I think that one of the fundamental things when we talk about COVID, for example, if you talk to any public servant, the free public servant, and kept the country safe, kept the Bahamian people safe. Obviously, it can be argued about some different decisions and so forth. And then ultimately, Naughty, history will be the true judge of any administration's policies and so forth. But as we come forward, Michael Pintard, myself, and the rest of the leadership team of the Free National Movement, we are committed. We are committed to not just promise to the Bahamian people to prove in a significant way that we are going to be different, definitely different than this government, that we are going to be committed to real transformation in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and committed to banking reform, committed to ensuring that our country is food secure, committed to ensuring that the ease of doing business does truly become the ease of doing business, particularly for Bahamian businesses, and that Bahamian businesses don't have to worry about red tape while the red carpet is rolled out, if you will, for foreign companies, even though they have a contribution to make to the economy of the Bahamas.
All right, we got a couple of calls, we got a couple of texts. So you want to take the first break now, Mr. Producer? Flip side of the break, as we see that flow, we'll get to them. We'll get to the text. Also want to talk about, on the flip side of the break, Mr. Cartwright, is your take on where we're going with our tourism product, with the heavy involvement of the cruise ship industry to the tune of 84%.
Absolutely.
I mean, we need more heads and beds. We need more airlifts. And you and I grew up on airlifts and heads and beds, as well as the cruise ship industry. We could speak when it was really a product that was all-encompassing, and we've lost that. So we need to talk about, you know, where we're going to go with that, and especially the orange economy, too. I got some questions from the orange economy. They still in their feelings, you know. So we'll talk about that and more on the flip side of the break with my special guest, FNM Deputy Leader, Mr. Shannon Dawn Cartwright. Keep it right where you got it. The Monday, June 2nd edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
For you, that's easy to say. We have a list of people that we would take. A boo for them, a boo for you, a boo for everybody in this room. But there don't seem to see many boos coming through. See many boos coming through. Metaphorically, I'm the man. But literally, I don't know what I do. I'd live for you, and that's hard to do. Even harder to say when you know it's not true. Even harder to write when you know that tonight there will be people back home.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the
trip. How often should you change your oil in your car? Every 3,000 miles or 3 months? Definitely by the time the light comes. Need water. Let Muffler World change your oil and oil filters to help you keep your ride on the road. Regular oil changes will save your car's engine. Stop by Muffler World on Mackey Street or Robinson Road to have your car's oil changed in no time flat. Muffler World on Mackey Street is open on Saturdays, 8 to noon.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
We're still here. Since 1941, the Armory Company has been your trusted partner and one-stop solution for all your business and technology needs. From printers to copier leasing, point of sale to cloud video surveillance, and access control to ATMs, we've got it all. And we ship to all family islands. Call our dedicated customer service team now at 397-1600 or visit us behind Wendy's on Mackey Street. An experience excellence that stands the test of time. The Armory Company. Your success is our business.
Turn up the heat and the flavor with the new jalapeno fire from KFC. Crunch into the iconic taste of KFC's original recipe, extra large filet, that's made with KFC's secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices cooked to perfection. Stacked high with spicy jalapeno peppers, pepper jack cheese, and our cool but kicking jalapeno sauce, all wrapped up in a soft toasted brioche bun. Go bolder and crank up the heat with our spicy zinger. Is bringing the heat and it's finger licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio.
96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John Shoes.
Back at you on the Monday, June 2nd edition of Talking Heads. We're now into the buzz, brought to you, of course, by John Shoes. My special guest, FNM Deputy Leader, Mr. Shannon Cartwright. We're going to continue the conversation on several topics, but obviously we talked about the budget. We talked about the Grand Ukiah, and obviously, you know, we need to wrap that up real quick, though. But to me, as I look at the nuts and bolts of that, Mr. Cartwright, there's nothing there of substance. I mean, there's no money. Quote is, where is it? In the air, because there's no tangible evidence of, okay, we got it. Mm-hmm. Secondarily, how many people are involved? How many tentacles does this octopus have?
Right.
Who's ancient waters out of nowhere? Where does this company come from? Who are the participants in that? Who's involved in that? What role does the port play? I mean, there's multiple questions. And again, no questions, no answers. So real quick, because we got to get to the text and the calls. How important is it to your administration to institute quickly and effectively a Freedom of Information Act?
Very, very, very important. The leader has been, Leader Pintard and the entire caucus has been very forthcoming on this. The apparatus is set up, and so we need to be very forward-leaning with the Freedom of Information Act. I want to go back just very quickly before you take a call. We are hopeful, as are most importantly Grand Bahamians and Bahamians at large, of this deal. Okay?
That's, we all want to see it succeed.
Absolutely. But I believe and I know, talking to Grand Bahamians, and we all have family members and so forth from Grand Bahama, What's in the details is just as important. What concessions are there? Okay. What is it going to cost the Bahamian people and Grand Bahamians in the long term? And so the long term impact and long term significance to
and
the Grand
benefits for
and
Bahamians.
Benefits Grand Bahamian Grand businesses, Bahamian. Grand Bahamian businesses. What is the long term impact? And the only way you can answer that is if you get the details. And it's not right for the government to say, you know what, listen, just be excited. Just be excited that we, quote unquote, got a deal. But don't worry about the details that will either say how good the deal is, and most importantly, or most importantly, the impact of the deal on the Grand Bahamian economy and to an extent the larger Bahamian economy. Because remember, there was a deal in place that they say wasn't a good deal, right? So obviously, from their vantage point, they looked at it wasn't good.
So let us know how good this deal is.
So let us know now how good this deal is. And I think that's a reasonable expectation from the Bahamian people, but this government has not been committed to giving details.
All right, cover the text for you and then we'll get to the calls. Good afternoon, Naughty, and your guest. I heard they're upgrading the voter's card to hardback. Have you gentlemen heard anything about that? All right, I'll have to do some due diligence. That's the first of me hearing that. Upgrading the voter's card to a hardback
okay.
card.
Okay, we've asked in Parliament very, very aggressively. We were made aware that there's a foreign company called Canadian Banknote, and that was said on our feet in Parliament. Now, full disclosure, this company called Canadian Banknote, they provide other services for the government, okay? But specifically as it relates to the Parliamentary Registration Department, we understand that they are involved down there, and we have... through the Bahamian people, have real concerns about their involvement. What is it that they're doing? We hear about the upgrading of systems and a new system and so forth. What does that mean? Are there any vulnerabilities there as it relates to our democratic process? Bahamians are asking, will it impact the integrity of the upcoming general election? And I believe those are legitimate concerns that we've placed on the floor of the House of Assembly, and that we will continue to ask this government.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, how you doing?
Afternoon, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon to your guests as well, Mr. Cartwright.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Cartwright, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I am great, Mr. Cartwright. I'm great for several reasons, you know. I'm optimistic. I have two things I'd like for you to touch on, but first, I'm optimistic because I am convinced that a Cartwright, Pintard, or Pintard Cartwright administration will do this country well. I think the transformation you spoke about earlier is there under a Pintard Cartwright administration. And I hold hope that, you know, even my great great grandchildren will enjoy the benefit of us electing Cartwright and Pintard as the two leaders of our country. But two things I want to touch on. Mr. Cartwright, me and some fellas were talking on the blocks, right? And we have our little conversation. But we were seriously offended to see that the government, this administration, after 4 years, has now bring out some budget to say that after they had let the Bahamian people suffer for some 4 years and did what they wanted to do, not including the Bahamian people in their plan. That's one thing I wanted you to touch on. But the next thing is, we have also spoke about the devastation our country will face if the voters next election decide to vote anything else than FNM. Because we say if you vote for the COI or you vote for independent, you're voting for the PLP. And that's the only disruption what I think will give the PLP an edge over the Free National Movement. And I call it a serious problem for the country. So I'd like for you to touch on those two issues, if you may, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. First, I think it's very important to emphasize this because this was a part of the discourse, public discourse, over the past few weeks when there was this conversation about Michael Pintard's capabilities and ability to lead because of his involvement in the orange economy, and what is it about him that gives him the wherewithal, if you will, to lead us into a new paradigm shift. I met Michael Pintard. We've known each other prior to politics, because we were both operating in the same space in corporate Bahamas. Among other things, human resources development, both of us, as well as being involved with corporate development, ensuring that companies, Bahamian companies, were working on building themselves. So both of us in our professional capacity, as, among other things, have been helping companies and have helped companies build themselves in terms of corporate development, build themselves in terms of human resource, personnel. You know, his involvement in the orange economy is well known. And we do have to move away from this idea that leadership only resides within certain professions. And I believe that we have to be very, very careful, because the truth is that leadership is leadership wherever it is. And Michael Pintard has shown his ability to lead in his professional life, has shown his ability to lead in terms of as a businessman, has shown his ability to lead in terms of the orange economy. And I believe, no doubt, that that Michael Pintard will be a great prime minister for our country. As it relates to the question about relief, in this budget, there is some $59 million set aside for consultants. That is a reduction from the last fiscal year. But overall, since this government has been in office, at the end of this fiscal year, they would have spent some $280 million on consultants, over $250 million. It's well known about the increase in travel. Last year was $58 million. This government now has appropriated some, or will be appropriating, obviously, once the budget is passed, some $15 million for travel. So just on these two facts alone, the Bahamian people look around and they say, while the government talks about restraint, the government isn't operating with any restraint. The Bahamian people are hurting in ways. The government VAT receipts have increased by $500 million, but so has the burden for the Bahamian people. A UB report, a survey, talked about for a middle-class family, $10,000 to live. And so the government needs to be...
Middle class, that doesn't exist anymore, Mr. Carter. It doesn't exist in Wash Island. It does not. It's gone. Middle class, gone.
That is true. There's tremendous pressure, tremendous pressure on the middle class in this country. And I believe that the government, in a lot of their decisions, economic decisions, has put more pressure and, to a large extent, continues to push those persons who would be middle class further back than advance persons who are in the class of a middle class in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So despite what the government continues to say, the lives of the Bahamian people reflect something else.
Let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Naughty, and to your guests.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And it's interesting what you've been saying. I've been cut off for 10 minutes, so I missed part of it. But the reality country has been reelected since 1997.
That is true, sir.
And in my viewpoint, the reason for that is very, very simple, and most politicians seem to not get it. You have to make it easy for the people. If you don't make it easy for the people, they're not going to vote you back in. It's a very simple thing. And if you look back to the first Ingram administration, that's what they did. They went out and made life easier for the people. And no one has really done that since. It always seems to get harder and harder and harder to get anything done, to do anything, to go to a government office and get anything paid. I mean, it just doesn't seem to end. And it's all very well to say, well, I balance the budget. The average guy out there doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to him. Because it doesn't make it easier for him or her. And governments of this country are going to continuously get voted out of office until they understand that very simple, fundamental fact. And that's all I got to say.
Sir, you are, thank you so much
for your call. Good call, caller. Good
question. Thank you so much for your call. And sir, you are absolutely right. And I believe that all governments, all political parties must keep this in mind, that it's fundamentally what is in the front of our citizens. For some citizens, it's the of deep concern about the efficiency of government and how it works. We talk about the taxes that Bahamian people are paying. They at a minimum expect government services to work efficiently. They expect when they work into government offices for things to be run smoothly, and they get the type of service that they are paying for through their taxes. The entrepreneur, the Bahamian entrepreneur, wants the ease of doing business to be better, that it cannot be right that it takes so long to be able to set up a business in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We intend to look at the business license regime, for example, and to make some changes because we feel that it's unacceptable, and this has been expressed by us in Parliament, that businesses, for example, have to project what they're going to make the following year. And so that is something that we want to change. We believe that the Bahamian people in all aspects are frustrated, disenchanted about where we are. You're so right about the last time a government was reelected was 1997. We have to make life easier for Bahamians. And when they wake up in the morning, their dreams and aspirations, they need to know and feel that the government of the day allows them to facilitate their dreams, the dreams of their children and their wider family, and that we can ensure that the Commonwealth of the Bahamas can be even greater than it is. I will also say, too, and, you know, we talk about the economy. There's been a large discussion about tourism, obviously being our number one industry. And, again, this inclination, if you will, that when we put the numbers out there, and so now the government is saying 11 million, we're expecting 11 million visitors, that is good. And we appreciate all industry continues to do for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and the economy. But the truth is, the stopover visitors we've seen in the first quarter of this year is on a decline. Why is that significant and important? While we love the fact that there's an increase in cruise passengers spend $85.
Lowest in the region.
$85. Right. The stopover visitors spends 3,000% more, $2,700. So if you can get 10 additional stopover visitors, you're talking about now that's $27,000 versus the cruise ship passenger, 10 more of them, is $850. So we're not dismissing how important the cruise ship passenger is, but what we are saying, and what we have been saying, is we have to find a way to increase the stopover visitors. Presidents of the Bahamas Hotel Association and hoteliers have been talking about it. Incidentally, the government was making a reach, if you will, for the West Coast market of the United States. We've now LA to the Bahamas and JetBlue, that is gone. And in this year, we're going to lose Alaskan Air. So we can talk, we can make it political or look truly at the structure of what's going on and how do we fix the issues to make it even better. Yes, we enjoy that the cruise ship passengers are coming to our country, but how do we ensure that more stopover visitors, more heads and beds are happening so that we can truly see the benefit?
I mean, there's several options. I know we're running out of time here, but obviously, there's ways to incorporate, I feel, the cruise industry and our tourism product, since they're monopolizing 84% of it. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do something? You come here, you check out some of the family islands for a week, then you take your cruise, and then you depart. Make it like a home port, like it was intended to. I think that works. I think more Bahamians need to be involved in the daytime. You know, cruise ship passengers get off just for the day, the $85 version that I'm talking about.
Right.
We need to be more in those kind of markets as well. Mm-hmm. And then as well on the private islands. I mean, I look at the budget and Mr. Sears trying to table the amendment to the Immigration Act. But, I mean, it's still work permits. You call them work visas, it's still work permits, and it's $3 a head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How are Bahamians winning there? Yeah. We're not.
Right, absolutely. And that's why we have to step back as a country and look at all aspects of the Bahamian economy and appreciate that there are some transformational things that need to happen. It's been too long. We look at the contrast between what's happening in the port, the cruise port, that this particular government was very critical of. But look at the benefit of what's happening for the Bahamian economy. And that's something that happened under the F&M administration. What we are saying is this. We have to transform Nassau big time. And not just transform it in a superficial way. That's important. But change our thinking, a master plan of what Bay Street looks like, what Nassau looks like, so that when it comes on the screen and on the TV on somebody's television in Oklahoma, that experience is so significant. When they see that, they say,
you gotta
that's Nassau, we got to go there, right? So there has to be a master plan, not suggesting that it's going to be easy because it involves a lot of the stakeholders who have their businesses downtown, but we have to really change the concept and make downtown a livable city to make it a place where to even generate more economic activity.
24 hours
and so forth. I don't blame the cruise port for their business module and what they're trying to do. That's their business. Our job is to make sure that we stay relevant,
we stay in the game.
A destination within a destination. Because once we create a destination and downtown is a destination, you will have persons who will leave the cruise port and funnel right up into Bay Street.
Just so like to create, Fremont Street in Vegas.
Exactly. Create a very unique Bahamian experience.
Absolutely. All right. You got some tests. I'm going to get them all off, and then you can respond however you need, and we'll try to get this last call in because I know your time is tight. Naughty, please ask your guests about the serious threat of possible foreign nationals, in particular Haitians voting illegally in this next election. I'm hearing plane loads of Haitians arriving weekly and not leaving. Personally, I think the PLP will try to use this Haitian situation for election. That's one set of texts right there. Let me get to some other ones. Naughty, can you please ask your guest, good afternoon, and to your leader, and to your guest, deputy leader, Mr. Cartwright, please can you let your leadership know or your party know when will you be visiting Eleuthera? We need to make some noise. Because the silence is deafening. Central and South need to start working because we can't trust this administration. Another thing, is there anything in the upcoming budget, if the F&M is the next administration, for sporting facilities on the family islands? Naughty, good afternoon to you and your guest. I heard to you and your guest, opposition needs to put more pressure on the PLP. Naughty, good afternoon to you and your guests. Who is behind that road work in Grand Bahama? I hope a Bahamian will get that contract. Naughty, please, good afternoon. Ask your guests, which Valley Boy is he going to rush with next go round? I tell you, there's always one. Good afternoon, Mr. Cartwright. What is the deal on the hotel deal in Freeport and the airport? Wasn't money allocated for a airport in Freeport? Naughty, good afternoon. This government has outperformed any administration, Mr. Cartwright. The banks give the Bahamas a very positive outlook. This is the first time they've experienced this outlook in almost 20 years. Now I got a couple others to get to. We have to find a way to increase stopover visitors. Please show up on day one with a well-thought-out plan to increase cruise ship passengers for 5 years. We're here. We need more rooms. We need more Bahamian investment. And just words, please, we need you all to show up to enact well-thought-out policy plans that do not disenfranchise Bahamian. We're tired of these desk-banging initiatives with nothing to show for it in the long run. Naughty, I noticed quite conveniently there's no mention of the F&M fair. Last time I checked, fair attendants don't win elections. But anyway, if that matters to you, I'll ask. When Mr. Cartwright is, good afternoon, Naughty, and to your guest, what Mr. Cartwright is saying is he is in agreement with us who believe that the government needs to tax the cruise ship industry more, if any, at least a dollar from each passenger. And finally, Naughty, what benefits did a cruise ship porting bring? That port is for the port and not this country. No, when I mean porting, I mean not in the port itself, meaning you come, you spend a week in the Bahamas, you stay at one of the major hotels here in New Providence, or you check out the family islands for a week, and then you get on the cruise, and you take your cruise for a week, and then you depart from here. That's what I mean, porting. You come here and people embark on the cruise ship here after a partnership with us, the country, and our tourism brand, and the cruise ships. That way, everybody wins. The cruise ships get their week cruises, and we still also get those passengers here for a week in some capacity, if not here in Bahama, Abaco, the Family Islands, smaller hotel properties. Obviously, we're going to need to increase the rooms if we get into a partnership like that, but that's long-term, and obviously that might tie in with the redevelopment of Bay Street that this F&M administration, you know, eyes to possibly do. So we have to look at all of that. But obviously, that's what I mean by porting. I don't mean specifically in the port. I mean, it's beyond that.
Let me answer a couple of these texts as best as I can. Election integrity is very important and fundamental to our democracy. And so, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have been concerned about the involvement from our understanding of Canadian Banknote and what it is exactly they're doing. But this is another situation where the government is not providing any details or adequate details. So we are going to ensure and put pressure on this government to make sure that we have a proper election, that election integrity is at its highest. And so we commit that to the Bahamian people and to question any deficiencies, to question any nefarious acts that we see. As it relates to Eleuthera, we are very much committed to all of the Family Islands and their development. The specific question was Eleuthera. Eleuthera in particular has been dealing with some major issues of infrastructure, no water, no light. For weeks on, it's hard to believe in 2025 that our people, specifically on the islands of Eleuthera, would have to deal with these issues. The leader went down, Leader Pintard went down with a team to carry water in a small way, but a very important way, that our commitment to the people of Eleuthera is real. This government has talked a lot about family island development. We're waiting to see these airports that they've promised from that time. Speaking about airports, I know there was a question about the Grand Bahama Airport. That's one of the questions that we want to know. What is the state in relation to the investment and the sale? What is the state of the
airport?
We can't be serious about economic advancement and development of Grand Bahama in the way that people see it without a real airport. So that, again, is a legitimate question that we continue to ask. It was also asked about sporting facilities in the Family Islands. As many people know, including Naughty, I played college basketball.
I got a couple of texts from me. I got to shut it one time. You know?
Basketball, so I fully appreciate. And Michael Pintard, as the former Minister of Youth Sports and Culture, understands the importance of sport in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and what it means, not just from a competitive standpoint, but what it does for the development of our PLP. We will continue to do that. We are open to constructive criticism. At the end of the day, we are the opposition, and the Bahamian people demands for us to be a certain way in holding the government accountable. But we encourage the Bahamian people to continue their pressure on their members of parliament and this government, and so that they understand fully that they've let down the Bahamian people.
I appreciate you stopping by today. I know you're on a tight schedule, so I'm going to let you go. I appreciate it. Next time, we got to do it for a little more time. But thank you so much for being so candid and honest and forthright. I think a lot of people appreciate that. And we'll do it again sometime real soon. But
thank you very much.
Thank you
very much, Bahamas. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank again our special guest today, F&M Deputy Leader, Mr. Shannon Dawn Cartwright. Obviously, you know, tomorrow our special guest will be F&M Leader, Mr. Michael Pintard. Myself, MJ, will be here. We'll be doing that interview as well. Pearly will possibly chime in at some point. But look forward to that tomorrow, all right? We'll take a quick break. Flip side of the break, we got Cuban Willie's numerology report brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. We'll get into the news. And at 5 o'clock, we're talking sports. Keep it right where you got it.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report. Brought to you by the Island Game.
Monday, and it's me, Cuban Willie, time for my numero digi report, brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. And today, I have the lucky three ball for you today to set off the week on Monday with the lucky tres pelotas. And the lucky tres pelotas today, 6-3-2, the 6-3-2. Play them and win with the Island Game. Stay winning, my friend.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Crunch your hunger cravings and satisfy the whole family with KFC Bucket Meals starting at just $20. Get freshly prepared golden fried chicken, buttery biscuits, and add your favorite large sides for flavor that will make your mouth happy and your feet dance. Order online or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to grab your KFC Bucket today. Big flavor, bigger value, and always KFC. Finger licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion and at your feet.
Fly away with me through the Bahama Keys.
Tired of the hustle and bustle of Nassau? Fly away to the Family Islands with our fly free offer for Bahamian residents. Stay at any of our hotels for two nights and get a round trip ticket for free. Visit BahamasResidents.com for details.
My Bahama land, yes, my country. Come fly away.
You're listening to Talkin' Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio.
96.9 FM.
On the Monday, June 2nd edition of Talking Heads. June. May, we was just in May. I mean, I tell you, you blink, you burp, you put down your cold beverage, and boom, month gone. Finish. I do not know what happened to me. Honest to God, I don't know what happened to me. That just flew by. Whoosh. Now we're in June. Then we'll be in July. Training camp's open. Then August, preseason football. Then September. The kickoff at the greatest time of the year in the sports calendar, the NFL. Oh, yeah. But we got plenty to talk about between now and then. Obviously, we're going to talk NBA playoffs, NBA championships. All right, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll talk the local scene. But before we get into all of that, you know how we kick it off. especially being into the sports. Today in sports history, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Well worth a trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza. Be sure to check them out. And, of course, you know, on this day in sports history, June 2nd, we had a lot go down. 1883, the first baseball game under electric lights was played in Fort Wayne, Indiana. 1935, George Herman Babe Ruth announced that he was retiring from baseball. 1941, Lou Gehrig died in New York of the degenerative disease amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, known as Lou Gehrig's disease. 1948, the NHL announced that the Art Ross Trophy would be awarded annually to the scoring leader. Elmer Lack of the Montreal Canadiens was the first winner with 61 points in 1947-1948. 1959, Ted Williams of Boston, 500 hit of his career. 1990, Randy Johnson achieved the first no-hitter in Seattle Mariner history. The big unit, Randy Johnson. 1995, Hideo Nomo got his first Major League victory. 1996, Tim Belcher of the Kansas City Royals won his 100th career game. In 2000, Fred McGriff of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays became the 31st Major League player to hit 400 career home runs. And your sports quote of the day, the more I train, the more I realize I have more speed in me. Leroy Burrell. And that's a wrap, excuse me, on Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. All right, let's check out the local sports scene. The home court, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And I'll be honest with you, be sure to check out Burger King Nassau. It's all about the Pesto Club, fresh, bright, and bold. You definitely want to check it out, chicken or beef, either way. It is all good, all right? Be sure to check them out at your favorite Burger King Nassau locations. The Pesto Club's off the chain. All right, so let's check out the local sports scene. And then we'll go international and shorter. But like I said, got to make sure I keep an eye on the local sports scenes. And congratulations to everybody who's finally wrapping up baseball selective championships and in the various divisions. LCIS claims both national titles, the Dragon Senior Girls and Boys. The Lafayette International School Dragon Senior Boys held off the Government High School Magic Phoenix 2-0 to claim the National High School Soccer Championships. All right. And then the Dragon Senior Girls hauled away their second consecutive national soccer crown with a 2-1 triumph over the Queens College Comets. There you have it there. So congratulations to those teams on their victories. Five Bahamians to compete at the NCAA Championships. Keyshawn Strawn, Anthea Charlton, Javonia Valcourt, Oscar Smith, and Quincy Penn. And Walcott posts his first multi-homer game. Bahamian minor leaguer Sebastian Walcott had a career night against the Amarillo Sod Poodles in Amarillo, Texas. My God, the Sod Poodles. What kind of a name is that? The Sod Poodles. In Amarillo, Texas on Friday night, Walcott erupted for the first multi-homer home run game of his professional career, helping to propel the AA Frisco Rough Riders to a 7-1 victory over the Amarillo Sod Poodles. They both play out of the Texas League's Frisco as a double-A affiliate of the Texas Rangers and Amarillo as a double-A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Walcott, the Rangers' number one prospect, meant business from the first inning. He opened the game with a solo blast to left field, which put Frisco ahead 1-0. The lead did not last long as the Sod Poodles tied up the game 1-1 on an RBI single from Manuel Pena in the bottom of the second inning. Frisco answered the call with 6 runs. Walcott came alive once again in the sixth inning. With 2 runners on, he nailed a 3-run shot that created a 5-1 lead for his team, which proved to be too big for Amarillo to overcome. Walcott finished 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs. Not a bad night at the plate. Good stuff right there. All right. And that is a wrap on the local scene. Now we get to the international scene. Who's in, who's out? All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. And let me check the text lines. Hey, Naughty, I see the way Canada's evil empire from L.A. Throw junk at them, Dodgers hot dogs. Boy, listen to me. I can't say nothing. I'm kind of grateful Pearlie is out today. He's tied up in a meeting. Heard that from earlier, but I'm sure if he can extricate himself, he will chime in. All right? But yeah, that was a long night when they beat us 18-2. Dear God, that was long. Pearlie sent me more memes, more junk, more trash. I was thinking about blocking him, but honest to God, it got that bad. He was in full that guy mode. I just reminded him, laugh now, cry later, buddy. Laugh now, cry later, buddy. Remember that. Okay? Because at the end of the day, I got to shake my head. 18-2. I hope they haven't gotten in the Yankees' head, to tell you that much. The Dodgers have been beating up on us for a minute now. You got to get it together. It ain't one thing, it's another. Boy, I tell you, that was a rough. That was a rough one, boy. Mr. Producer, when I tell you he was in rare form, he was finding memes I didn't know existed. Total freak yourself out. Total freak out. Not crash out. Freak out. You know when they just freak themselves out? He's just in full freak themselves out mode. But what can you do? If the Yankees won 8-2, I would be in full freak myself out mode. I was gonna find, yeah, so it is what it is. All right, but let's talk some of the international headlines. Like I said, we're into the who's in and who's out, all brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. And if you look at some of the stories, you got Pro Bowl center from the Detroit Lions, Ragnow, announcing his retirement. Frank Ragnow, four-time Pro Bowler in seven NFL seasons, announced his retirement on social media Monday. The past couple months have been very trying, and as I've come to the realization that my football journey is ending and I'm officially retiring from the NFL, Ragnow posted to Instagram. I've tried to convince myself that I'm feeling good, but I'm not, and it's time to prioritize my health and my family's future. I have given this team everything I have, and I thought I had more to give, but in reality, that is not the case. I simply don't. I listen to my body, and this has been one of the hardest decisions of my life. The Lions organization has been absolutely incredible throughout this process, and I can't emphasize this enough, how grateful I am for this team and the fans. It was an absolute honor going to be. Ragnow has battled through multiple injuries throughout his career. He's 29 and played in 16 out of 17 games last year. But, you know, it's time. Sometimes it's enough. If your body's telling you it's enough, it's enough. And sometimes it's better to get out now than when it's too late. Stephon Diggs has appeared at Patriots OTAs, voluntary organized team activities, Mondays after he was absent all week, and made headlines for a video on a boat that head coach Mike Vrabel stressing the importance of good decision making. And some things was going on that boat, I'll tell you that much. Diggs arrived on the field Monday for Monday's practice and waved to reporters, then said, "Nice to see you all." And that was it. Offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels is among those welcoming Diggs, who, according to teammates, hasn't been around much this spring since signing a three-year, $69 million contract. So we'll see where that goes. I think there's more trouble coming with Diggs in New England than people see. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Suns looking for a new head coach. It's down to the Cavs, Bryant, and Ott. Those are the final two that are going to get the job. The Suns have narrowed down their head coaching search to two finalists from the Cleveland Cavaliers, associate coach Johnny Bryant and assistant Jordan Ott. Sources told ESPN on Monday. Both Bryant and Ott will meet with the Suns owner Matt Ishiba, CEO Josh Bartleston, and general manager Brian Gregory in Michigan later this week, sources said. After firing Mike Budenholzer on April 14th and naming Gregory as the new GM on May 1st, Suns embarked on a comprehensive coaching search. This goes. But that Suns franchise was a little bit snake bit last season. So let's see where it all ends up. And for you Eagle fans, the kiss of death. And I love reading this for y'all. Guess who's on the Madden cover? Yes, Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley and his legendary reverse hurdle will be featured on the cover of Madden NFL 26, EA Sports, announced Monday. And all I have to say is, the Madden curse is real. Put it all on y'all Eagle fans. Put it all on y'all Eagles. Yeah, y'all Sheagles, tote it. The Madden curse is real. Take it, tote it, live it, love it. Mm-hmm. Consume it. All right. Let's talk NBA. Got the NBA Finals coming up. What's everybody's take on that? Should be a good Finals, to tell you the truth. You know, I think what we've seen from both teams, we should have a very good Finals. Now this is like battle for face of the league. Who's it going to be? Who is it going to be? They're down to two. And they play on Thursday night, the 5th of June. Right now, the Thunder are 9.5-point favorites over 231.5. Boy, you got to look at that. I think a lot of points are going to be scored in this series, despite Oklahoma City being very defensive. I think there's going to be some room for the Pacers to score some points in this. I also think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is trying to make his statement for face of the league along with Haliburton from Indiana to an extent as well, too. But I think this is an opportunity for Shai to seize the moment. And I've seen some Mamba-like qualities out of him in his post-up game, in his short game. Very Kobe-like. He's kind of impersonated Kobe's move, like how Kobe impersonated Jordan's move. Yeah, let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Yeah, Naughty. What's going on, man? Pearly doing in yet?
No, I'm probably in a meeting right now. I don't know if Pearly going to tune in. He may not. What's going on, though?
All right, well, my take on it, I'm saying OKC in six.
I might.
Yeah, I think Indiana could come take a play, but I think the home court advantage, I think the young boys, I think they've been to the finals, and then we beat them.
I'm telling you the difference in that whole series, Muff, is the fact that, you know, there is legend. There is island legend. The Chet Holmgren was here in the Bahamas before draft night a couple of years back.
Okay.
And he was all tear up in Banana's taxi. Remember Banana? He used to call the show in the yellow cab.
Uh-huh.
So he was all tear up. He dropped him to the airport. Next thing you know, he saw him on the draft coming out in the suit all clean up.
Uh-huh.
So I think because he got some real large and vast amount of Bahama mamas in him from years ago, I think that's going to be the advantage.
Him too. J-Dub. Don't leave out J-Dub. Don't leave out Joe. Don't leave out Wiggins.
I think all of them come into play, but I think he is now the problem for Turner in Indiana because he's skinny. He gets up the court, you know what I mean? He's got an inside-outside game. He could pull Turner out. He could make Turner work. Now, Turner could body him a little bit, but he's going to make Turner work, and he's got a good offensive game that if they decide to go through him for a period of time, they could get away with it, especially if he's on.
Yeah, because when Indiana bring their defensive game, they play good, but they ain't consistent with it and things like that. But
ex-Laker, too, Alex Caruso is going to make a big difference, too.
Well, he's the only one there who been to the finals before. He's the GOAT.
Yeah, he got some experience, too.
Yeah, he got his defense, too, and I can believe he can. And then, like, for the fans, they didn't been there before, and we beat them. I think they could give them a ring, a championship this lap, man. They deserve it.
You mean OKC? Okay, yeah, they might. You never know.
You never know, yeah. All right, then, that's my take. Yeah, I'm saying OKC in six, yeah.
Good stuff, Muff. I might be with you on that one, man. I think so.
All right,
we'll talk more.
Sensible minds think alike.
That's true. Great minds, too. Be safe, my brother. Good stuff. Now, once you figure out that Dolphin part, you'll be complete, man. You'll be straight to go. Good to go. All right. But, yeah, I what's your take, though? I do see this being kind of a push toward now new faces in the league. You saw Brunson in the Knicks, and we caught Anthony Towns as well. You've seen Anthony Edwards out there in Minnesota, okay? You've also seen the Shai and the crew in Oklahoma City. You've seen Halliburton and the crew in Indiana. There's a lot of young faces being pushed. And a lot of you fans of LeBron and Steph and that crew, y'all got and KD, y'all got to realize that window, that era is closing now. And they're about to put new faces on the league. My question is, out of that Steph era that took over after Kobe, because, you know, Kobe's like a bridge between the old and the new. But when it's just those faces, none of the old legends like Kobe or Jordan or any of that crew, Shaq, all of them gone. Who really has dominated? And I want you all to answer this. Who's really the face of that era? Is it LeBron? Is it Steph? Or is it KD? And before you all are quick to jump to say LeBron, just remember, Steph has beat him multiple times and won four championships in that time. And giving him two of those six losses in the finals that LeBron totes around, I'm just saying, before you jump quick, maybe we could have this discussion. KD not in the convo. I mean, he's probably been the most prolific scorer during that time, despite LeBron's ascent on the racket. But I think it comes down to Steph and LeBron, and could Steph be that face? Considering his pedigree, considering his own credentials, and considering the winning he's done. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Yeah, Yankee. You know, we knocking everybody out of the park.
Yeah, baby, we get knockout the park. Half knockout the park, 18-2.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mind losing again, but I'm saying we put some on the Dodgers a couple of games ago. I think we had about seven home runs.
Yeah, I know, but that was too much, too little, too late, like that old song say, man.
Yeah, but...
Because, I mean, they monkey stomped us the other times. That one was 7-3. That might have been, you know, a couple of home runs and all of that. But boy, my God.
Yeah, that's a real beating, but like I said, it's still only one game.
Yeah, and when I look at it, right, and I look at everything, we are still the number one team in the American League East with a 5.5-game lead over Toronto at 36-22. Detroit, surprisingly, 39-21. And Seattle, 32-26. You know?
If you look over at the
Dodgers, they're 36-23. So, you know, we all in the same neighborhood right now.
We could have been 41-plus, you know, if it wasn't for our closer what they got from Tingham. He blew about six game already.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't know. Yankee fan don't really want to see him on the mound like that no more.
No, boy, I hear he's deep in the bullpen. He needs to get himself together. I think the jumping leagues is having an effect on him.
Yeah, and like I said, we win a 3-2 game, but we had a 3-0 lead, and he come in and gave up 2-1.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we almost lose the game.
You preaching to the choir, my brother. I feel your pain.
Yeah, so we got to get out together, man. I mean, yes, you might be paying him some money, but is the production there? That's the key thing.
Yeah, is it?
No, it isn't.
That's what you got to look at.
I'm paying you $1 million if you're not producing. I got to bring the fellow I pay in 25.
Maybe we need to try package him and trade him to somebody in the National League for another reliever, because this ain't working out so far.
That ain't working out for us.
All right, good stuff. Let me get to the other calls, man. Be safe. Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Naughty.
Yes, sir, 52.
Yeah, what's popping?
All good.
Yeah, who was who make a joke the other day on the radio? Someone was talking sports. They say they'll watch the Dodgers play or something like that, but you know, Pearly's hard with them. Someone, I can't remember which show it was, Naughty.
I had to be on Thursday with Pearly, man.
The TMZ can say, he said, you know, watch the Dodgers play. Well, you know, I don't really follow baseball, but you know, I used to, back in my young days, I used to pull for the Phillies. I never tell you that, but you know, he's a football man, right? But I call to congratulate you. You know you got a brain, right? And you're a baller. You show me you're a baller. You know he's a tall, bony person, right?
Right.
So I used to play ball. I just like probably 6'3" the most, right?
Me and you the same height.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is you're not too short, but you're not too tall. So people always call you tall. I say no, man, I'm short, man. So one time I went all the way up in Baltimore to watch the Angels and the Orioles play, and I had I said a couple of white people come with me and tell me, say I look like Dr. J. But say you little. I was so surprised. But I want to share this with you. You know, you see that same philosophy of moving around and being physical and making the big man tired?
Yep.
That's the way how I used to play. And that's the way how any smaller man
Like Rip Hamilton of the Detroit Pistons back in the day and UConn. Rip Hamilton made a career of that. Just run around.
Yeah, but after you say that, I said, no, I didn't know what the game is all about. Once you was a shooter, because that's what a guy like Curry, see, you got to understand, once you keep moving, the person waking harder. So you would be a fool if someone taller than you and way more than you and you stand up in the post. Yeah, you could post, but I can move around, I can help you wake, and I can stay moving, because that's what the game is all about, who's the most physical. You see what I'm saying? And you know, with ball, I'll tell you this. I used to run around the track over and over before the games, right? But when that game starts, you know, you're playing full court, right, Naughty?
Full
court,
whole court.
You still get tired, and you ain't going to catch yourself, and then you go on the bench and come back. So basketball is a good game in which you have to be conditioned. That's why you see a lot of players don't like play defense, don't because they might not have a good night. But basketball requires pure energy.
Yeah, if you look at it,
that's why you see most of them don't put their hands up. That's why most of them don't like defense one time. Don't mind it. We could see it, Naughty. We could see the selfishness in the game.
We
could
see the difference between from when we played and how it's played today. It's just evolution, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, we thank God people like Dad Dawkins, them standing around. I watch him push Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the underneath the bucket, almost to the free throw.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that game, but you can see it now. Dad
Dawkins broke a couple backboards in his time, man.
Yeah, I know, but I
told him
I wanted to fly Jabbar one time. I serious, but you know Jabbar's my favorite player. He's a Laker. Give thanks.
Yeah, man, but guess what? You ain't doing Kareem justice because he half killed Darrell Dawkins with that skyhook, too, taking him out away from the bucket and skyhooking him to pieces. But that was some good battles back in the day. I cannot tell you a word of lie. I cannot lie. All right. We going to the first break, Mr. Producer? All right, let me get these texts in real quick. Naughty, when will Jazz be back in those pinstripes in short order? If not this week, possibly next week. Hey, Naughty, when will LeBron and his son leave L.A. so they will celebrate him and pitch a grand celebrating the two of them being gone? I don't know, but as soon as I find out, I'll let y'all know because I go into that. Oh, yeah. Naughty, I would say LeBron is the face of that era and Caitlin Clark is the face of this era, but I knew you would. I knew you would. Yes. You'd probably say that Caitlin is the all-time face of basketball. I'd say that's only a face a mother could love. But anyway, that's a different story for another day. Let's get to the first break right here. All right, we're in the 5 o'clock hour on the Monday, June 2nd edition of Talking Heads. 5:35 p.m. is the time. Keep it right where you got it.
We have a list of people that we would take them for them, for you, for everybody in this room. But there don't seem to see many people coming through. See many people coming through. Man, I don't know what I do. I'd live for you, and that's hard to do. Even harder to say when you know it's not true. Even harder to write when you know that tonight there were people back home which are talking to you.
Been off the WSC grid for over a year? Now's the time to come back and save big. For a limited time only, the Water and Sewage Corporation is offering up to 50% off reconnection fees for customers disconnected for more than 1 year. Don't miss this chance to reconnect and enjoy reliable, quality water service at a discounted rate. Call 302-5599 to learn more. Water and Sewage Corporation, dedicated to dependable, affordable water solutions.
Fancy this, one-of-a-kind pesto club sandwiches from Burger King NASA like you've never tasted before. Choose from the juicy chicken breast or 100% flame-grilled beef patty topped with irresistible fresh pesto spread, cheese, crisp bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Or start your mornings right with the pesto chicken crisp sandwich for breakfast. It's a delicious chicken patty topped with cheese, tomato, fresh pesto spread on a classic buttery BK croissant. The pesto club sandwiches are new, fresh, and only at Burger King NASA.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Calling all dear lovers.
Get ready for Point Side Pint. Join us on Saturday, June the 21st from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Nassau Cruise Port to sample beers from all around the world with live music and amazing Bahamian food. $10 general admission includes a free Port Side Pints beer mug, or take it up a notch and check out our exclusive VIP lounge. That's the Port Side Pints Beer Festival, June 21st at Nassau Cruise Port. Don't miss it. Visit Facebook or Instagram for details.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio.
96.9 FM.
Back at you on the Monday, June 2nd edition of Talking Heads. Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey. When I call you about, this morning about the third time I called you anyhow, I'm a Laker fan also, but I played for Chicago White Sox from I was 11 years old.
But you're all having a rough campaign this year, but I think you're...
was Yankee and Dodgers, but I picked the White Sox. But what I want to say, I never heard you mention this history in Yankee Stadium. You remember Wilbur Wood?
If I remember...
Wilbur Wood, the pitcher, knuckleball pitcher.
Yeah, Wilbur Wood.
In Yankee Stadium, he lost the first game, 12-2. He didn't last the first inning. And the second game, he lost 7-0. And his winning percentage that he won 24 games, and he lost 20.
That's a lot of losses. To pitch 44 games in 1 year, that's a lot, bro. That's way back.
And he lost 20 games. He pitched 359 innings.
You'll never see that in today's baseball.
But they call him the rubber arm. He's a knuckleball pitcher. This happened in July 20, 1973.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to talk some knuckleball pitchers now, you got to talk about the Negro brothers. They were good knuckleballers for sure.
Yeah, but Wilbur Wood used to pitch with 2 days rest.
Okay. And all them pitches on 2 days rest. So when did his arm fall off? In 1974 or 1975? Yeah, I would definitely have a look, man, especially if he was 24 and 20. That's a lot of innings. But the knuckleball was, I mean, that was a, that's another. Kent Tekulve was another one who used to pitch it for the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the day. And he was a knuckleballer and a sidearm at the same time.
Yeah.
So, being baseball too much, some people have a variation of it. But, boy, if you could get a knuckleball to work, boy, you shut some people down.
Yeah, but last was Wilbur Wood. That knuckleball was working. Yeah.
So you're a White Sox fan, all right.
I'm a White Sox fan, yeah, but I don't really follow it up like that anymore. Since they started, you know, like, they bring in the clothes, so they were set up, man, you know, and all that.
So you used to put for them back in the day when they used to wear the short pants, the navy blue pants and the white shirt, with Greg Luzinski them, and Gary Matthews.
Yeah, Eddie Stanky, I think, was the manager or something
like
that.
Yeah, man, that's old school Chicago White Sox right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate the call, man.
Okay.
I got to look that up, man. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, we got Rich Eisen with the final ride home today with Overreaction Monday, talking about a lot of things. 49ers, Packers, all right. Got some Houston Texan news in there as well. The NBA Finals standing. And the Dodgers, how they beat up on the Yankees. Everybody want to talk about that on the West Coast. Oh, Lord, they want to talk about that. Naughty, what do you think the Steelers will look like this year? I think the Steelers are going to be, boy, they got a nice mixture of young and old. I'll give them that. I don't know what their wide receiver room is going to look like with the departure of George Pickens. I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like because they lost all two starters from last year. But if they get Rodgers signed, they got the right pieces there. I think Tomlin gets them to at least 10-6. No, sorry, 10-7. maybe 9-8, but knocking on a playoff wild card possibility. All right? So we'll see. All right. So with that being said, let me look at these picks real quick before I get on out of here. And Rich Eisen could take us home the rest of the way. I'm going to check out Major League Baseball tonight, I guess. I guess we got to check out baseball. Mucho. Oh, yeah, you got a healthy set of games tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games tonight. I like the Marlins over the Rockies. Take the Marlins in the money line. Both of those teams suck, but the Marlins suck a little bit less. Red Sox and the Angels. I like the Red Sox at home in the money line in that one. Reds and the Brewers. I'm going to take the Reds plus the 1.5 in this one. These two teams play each other tight. The Reds are at home. I think they're going to win the game outright, but I'll take the plus 1.5. I like the Tigers over the White Sox in the money line for sure. Padres and the Giants. This should be a nice tight game here. Give me the Padres plus the 1.5. I think they're going to win the game, but I'll take them plus the 1.5. If they lose, I think it's going to be a tight game. I don't think they lose by more than 2. I like the Twins in the money line over the Athletics. Can get it done, but heck, why not? Let's see if the Mets can get it done. I'm going to take the Mets plus the 1.5 against the Dodgers tonight in L.A. just because I hate the Dodgers and I want to see Pearly eat it. All right. And that's a wrap. And of course, all my picks brought to you, of course, by the Island Game, the game you know, the friends you trust. The Island Game always reminds you to play responsibly. That's a wrap. 5:45 p.m. is the time. All right. We'll see you tomorrow right here. My special guest, our special guest, F&M leader, Mr. Michael Pintard. Yours truly along and with MJ, Mary Jane will be in the building. We're going to be holding that down for you. And I'm sure Pearly may make a cameo, but we will have that conversation tomorrow with our special guest, F&M leader, Mr. Michael Pintard. All right? Keep it right where you got it. Rich Eisen taking us home on the flip side of the break. Everybody who texted and called in, good stuff. And thanks again to our special guest today, F&M deputy leader, Mr. Shannon Doyne Cartwright. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads.
That's easy to say. We have a list of people that we would take. A boo for them, a boo for you, a boo for everybody in this room. But they don't seem to see many boos coming through.
Looking for tech solutions without the hassle? Since 1941, The Armory Company has been the Bahamas' trusted tech partner. From access control and cloud video surveillance to smart home setups and laptop repairs, we handle it all. Need a repair? We've got you covered, no matter where you bought it. Can't find what you need? Call us at 397-1600 for a custom solution. Visit us behind Wendy's on Mackey Street.
With delivery to all family islands.
The Armory Company, where your tech problems
and accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances, so come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again from the island that gives you minced mutton, okra soup, and of course, flour cake and rake and scrape. It's the 26th annual Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival in beautiful Otterstown, Cat Island, June 6th through 8th. We have acts such as Veronica Bishop.
He come in with the hands swinging.
Chino D. Stelito. Cupid. And of course, our very own down home guys like Lassido and the Boys.
I don't like no rigging and scraping in here.
Ophi and the Web Small in beautiful Otterstown, Cat Island. June 6th through 8th. See you there.
Crunch your hunger cravings and satisfy the whole family with KFC Bucket Meals starting at just $20. Get freshly prepared golden fried chicken, buttery biscuits, and add your favorite large sides for flavor that will make your mouth happy and your feet dance. Order online or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to grab your KFC bucket today. Big flavor, bigger value, and always KFC. finger licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio.
96.9 FM.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Mondays.
Monday.
On a Monday. What do you got over there?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everybody good? Good weekend?
Great. Yeah, we're great.
Ooh. Rich, how was your sports weekend?
It was great last night. It was great last night. Awesome.
I have Yarbrough in fantasy. He's been awesome.
He's been great.
Good.
But thanks for asking.
No problem.
How was yours?
Busy.
All right. Cut to it.
Little kids got smoked. Football, obviously, always on the brain. Let's do a couple football topics here. I'm thinking about the NFC, right? Oh, big blow, the Lions. Frank Ragnow retired at age 29. I think the 49ers are the biggest threat to knock off the Eagles in the NFC this year.
You know what, man?
We're not
what's
talking
happening?
Enough
what's,
about
what's happened
the
to
49ers.
You? What's happened to you?
Well, also, everyone thinks I hate them, which is kind of ridiculous.
Well, you think their coach keeps hitting his head on the ceiling right around fourth quarter of most important games.
Well, yeah,
that's been your stance.
I only
for
have
years.
The facts to back me up on
that's
that.
Been your stance for years.
Yeah, because it keeps happening.
Okay, and then you don't believe Brock Purdy's worth the money that they paid him.
Like
you think they should have let him play out his contract and have all of that comes with such a thing. For your franchise quarterback.
But that doesn't mean he's not the right quarterback for what the system that they run.
But I'm only pointing these things out because this is a surprising subject for me. Because, obviously the NFC, as I mentioned last week when I did my top five on the most, the deepest divisions in football, what's the best divisions in football? I said, not only is it the NFC North atop the list, but this is the best the NFC North may have been ever. We may never see the NFC North better than this, despite Frank Ragnow's retirement. It's just hard to, they're in sleeper team mode right now. San Francisco.
And the easiest schedule
they don't
in the
have,
league.
I know, they don't have sleeper team talent,
right?
They've got real live Super Bowl worthy talent, but the rest of them around need to show that they are too, which is why I would just peg the Commanders to be the best one.
I think a lot of good things, fortunate things went the Commanders' way last year, and I don't know if that's going to happen again this season. Regression back to the mean.
What do you think, TJ? You want to hop in here? Because I'm about to.
I think the stars are aligned.
My declaration here.
I agree with you at one point because you spent all of last year saying how it was over for the Niners, and now for you to jump back in and say they're the top contender.
That was then. This is now.
It's a little weird. I can't think of a better option than the Niners. You know what I want to say, but I'm not going to say them.
I know you want to say Dallas, but in all seriousness, though, I mean, you'd have to think somebody from the NFC North could do it.
You do, but if you look at, obviously, we'd all like to say Detroit, right? But lost both coordinators. Their center just
tough.
Retired. Their best defensive player is still coming back from
true.
A really devastating injury.
Right.
They are going to take a step back. Now, can the other team step up is the question there. But the Niners, the schedule, McCaffrey back. Kittle back. They're adding pieces on defense.
Ayuk back.
I got him. And I have there's reasons to call the Niners overlooked. And there's reasons to call the Niners cooked. But I think overlooked outweighs. I don't even think they're the biggest threat to the Eagles in their own division. That's the Rams. So I'll rule this an overreaction.
Ooh.
Christopher,
go
for it.
Okay. All right. Always the quarterbacks on the mind. Now, last week I had this player in my top five of guys who could become a superstar in 2025. But also, two things can be true at once. Jordan Love is in the top five of quarterbacks with the most to prove in 2025.
I just don't see Jordan Love a top five quarterback in the NFL right now.
You're misreading the question. top five quarterbacks with the most to prove in 2025. Jordan Love is in there.
I don't even think that either. Give me the five then. Give me the others. Who are in that neighborhood? I know you're putting Justin Herbert there.
Justin Herbert, big time.
I know you're putting Tua in there. You're putting Trevor Lawrence in there.
I don't expect anything from Tua, so yes. Trevor Lawrence, yes.
If you don't expect anything from Tua, then he's got something to prove.
I don't even think about Tua. Wow. I don't think of Miami as contenders. I don't even think about them in that way. You're talking about Josh Allen. You're talking about Lamar Jackson. You're talking about Jordan Love.
What do those guys have to prove? What do they have to prove?
Can you win a Super Bowl or not?
They can win a Super Bowl.
No, they can't.
Nope.
They haven't.
I know that.
So they cannot win a Super Bowl yet.
They've done everything else. It's the last thing that they have to prove.
We always have different opinions on what these sports phrases mean.
Are you a $55 million quarterback worthy of the accolades you have been given at an early stage without proving much?
Exactly.
What are we doing here?
If Josh Allen retires after, you know, a great 15, 16-year career, mm-hmm. right, and he doesn't have a Super Bowl win, is that going to be looked as a bit of a disappointment?
Then he can shake hands with Dan Fouts in Canton, Ohio.
I don't think you Who might cares? Be the
Then he can shake hands with Dan
Fouts. You guys aren't people out there of do as not
care
here.
About that. They don't care.
Here's the deal.
For as cool as it Dion is, we
is
know
right. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, we know Dan Fouts was great. We know Dan Marino was great.
Right.
But the reason Dan Marino isn't in anyone's top five list, which by all accounts he should be, he had as much talent.
No, I understand, but championships mean everything. I get it.
Unfortunately.
Dan is right. There are tiers to the Hall of Fame.
We're conflating everything now. When you say something to prove, it means you're worthy of your contract or your status, okay?
And is Love there yet? I don't know.
And I think he has proven he's got certain abilities that he can hone into being a Super Bowl quarterback if he takes that step forward and the roster around him improves.
Too inconsistent. He was not good last year, and the team kind of weirdly got better. But it wasn't because of him. It was because of Josh Jacobs.
Okay. But if you're throwing Josh Allen into the same mix, he's proven he can win a Super Bowl. He's proven.
No, so he hasn't Lamar proven Jackson. He can win a Super Bowl. He hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, you have to actually win a Super Bowl to prove that you can win a Super
Neither
Bowl.
Neither has Lamar Jackson. They've proven they can win MVP. Yeah. They've proven they can be great over a 16-game period.
They've
proven
they have the talent to win a Super Bowl, I think. I think Joe Burrow has proven that he has the talent to win a Super Bowl. I think, all of those things. I think who else has proven that Stafford has proven? Well, he's won a Super Bowl. Okay. Yeah. We have difference of opinions. I don't think he has much to prove.
Jordan Love doesn't have much to prove.
I'll call this an over, Chris.
Speaking of quarterbacks with stuff to prove, someone other than the Texans is going to win the AFC South.
I don't think that's an overreaction.
You see, C.J. Stroud isn't even throwing. It's June. The season starts very soon, sooner than you'd think.
Neither is Aaron Rodgers.
And he's not throwing. We've seen video of Aaron Rodgers at least throwing to a player now on the team that he might go to.
You don't think C.J. Stroud's throwing a football?
No, he has a pec issue and can't throw.
All right.
That concerns me.
Guess what? I hear you. I think the Colts could potentially be...
Who's their quarterback?
I know. Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Also, let's not. I don't want to sleep.
Tennessee?
I don't want to sleep on Cam Ward. I think he's going to be good.
Okay, I like it. No one's talking about him.
No one
has
absolutely not.
Name me the last first overall drafted quarterback that hasn't been talked about like Cam Ward isn't being talked about.
No idea.
I'll say this is not an overreaction. I'll buy this one. What else?
You're buying this one.
I did.
Oh,
I just did, didn't I?
I love it. Let's talk NBA real quick.
Think C.J. Stroud has thrown a football in 2025?
He's got a pec issue.
I understand what his issue is.
The Pacers, hear me out on this one. NBA Finals Thursday. We got to wait three more days. Yeah. Jeez, what are we doing?
I mean,
the Pacers will have a series lead at some point in the finals.
I like it.
Maybe they win game one. I don't know. Maybe they go up 2-1. I don't know. They're going to have a lead in the series.
Let me just say the Pacers have a knack. Hey, they had the Knicks. They've got the Knacks. All right?
They're kind of a crazy team.
Dude.
They play crazy games.
Why wouldn't they be able to take game one in Oklahoma City?
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Just stay within 14 and see what happens.
With 2 minutes to go.
Yeah. Throw the ball off the back iron and let it go pop up in the air and then through the hoop, touching nothing but net.
Rich, you said the
what the hell?
What the hell?
You said the Pacers have the knack?
Yeah.
So that mean they're going to sting my Sharona out there at some point?
I like it.
Good girls don't.
How does
they're not one-hit wonders, pal.
We alluded to it, but how is Halliburton not MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Oh, Siakam was unstoppable. Siakam was unguardable.
I looked at the stat. I mean, they both had an argument.
About the Eastern Conference Finals is the choke and the shot that went up and through, was one guy.
Well,
his perfect game.
I understand that. But also game two, when the Knicks had every chance to even the series at home, but couldn't, is because Siakam carried the team. We just don't remember that because of the other stuff is much more flashy. What else, Chris? You got another?
Rich, you saw this firsthand.
Hold on. Do we have one more? Is this one?
We're not there yet.
Okay.
Despite all their injuries, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. They got like 14 pitchers on the injured list.
The Tigers.
Mookie isn't even playing.
The Tigers are the best team in baseball so far.
Name two Tigers. Name two.
I'm not even going to dignify that.
Because you can't.
I'm not going to dignify
it. Scooball. Name another one.
I'm not going to.
Lou Whitaker. Harmon Killebrew.
I'm not dignifying
the
that.
Killer.
I'm not dignifying that.
Magnum. Thomas Magnum.
It's right.
Magnum P.I. played for them.
Matt Noakes.
Maglio Ordóñez. Like, we can't.
I'm not going to dignify it.
Right. Cecil Fielder.
I'm not dignifying it. By the way, this business.
You're seeing that in your nightmares.
I've had enough of this. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, you saw that like 28 times in 2 days.
Well, not yesterday.
Almost, though. You got a little worried when Pi has homered.
Excuse me. What else you got?
Listen.
What else you got?
One more. I did not know this.
Yeah. I can't believe we're having one more. Here's the deal. The hockey starts. The Stanley Cup Finals coming up this week. Rematch. Oilers.
Wednesday.
Panthers.
Puck drops.
Here's the deal for the NHL. They need Connor McDavid to win this thing. We can't have fake hockey states carrying the cup around. Okay? Florida Schmorta. Wow. We need a Canadian team to win the cup.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com.